I do desire your prayers. The Lord would be with us this afternoon. And I know it's hot and it's easy to be drowsy. Lord, be with us and help us this evening. I'd like for us to consider something this afternoon on the line of love and the love of God. And maybe at some point we'll make a contrast there. The sister made comment about having a love for dogs and coming down the road and dog running out in front of her and the distressful situation that was to her. I would like for us to consider for a little bit this afternoon how much love means to us. I remember coming to a place. There's been a lot of changes in my life in this last year, many changes. And I remember one particular instance falling on my face before the Lord and just having to pour out things to Him and empty to Him. And I remember there's things I had to consecrate to Him. And I was in earnest prayer before Him and just trying to get everything settled before Him. And whether we sing that song, whether I live or die, whether I wake or sleep, I am the Lord's. And I wanted to reestablish my commitment with the Lord, that would be my purpose and my own testimony. So in praying and crying before the Lord and asking for strength and courage and help, the Lord met me at that point, and He started speaking to me, and He gave me, He allowed things to come before my mind, and it's changed my way of thinking on a lot of things. And the Lord has helped me to see and appreciate so many more things. As I mentioned just the other day, even some of the littlest things that we can take for granted, those things have taken on a greater significance in my life because they're God's things. And they're the things that the Lord has allowed us to be able to enjoy and appreciate. And I look at these things now from a different viewpoint. They're part of God's love being manifested to His creation, manifested to me. So I appreciate all of those things that the Lord has made available to us. And as we read in the Scripture, it's a very common verse, John 3:16. And I refer to this Scripture often. I hope that we never get tired of the verse, because there's a lot in it. For God so loved the world that He gave. And I don't want to bore you with all of the details, but remember who God is and what He is. And He so loved that He gave. So as I was before the Lord that day, I was pleading with Him for some things. And as the Lord began to pour out some of His Spirit and speaking to the need that I had before Him, He brought so many things before my mind. And I want to share with you what a little bit of that was. One of the things that He brought before me was love. Love. I'll tell you, it is such a wonderful thing, folks, to be able to understand love. I listened to what the Lord said, and I turned from that, and I said, my God, oh my God, if You called for my life today, I could not lay a grievance at Your feet. I have been able to give love. I have been able to receive love. I have been able to hold my children in my arms. I have given love to my wife. She's given love to me. To my parents, and they back to me. To grandparents, and they back to me. And my own children and grandchildren. Lord, I am showered with love. All around me is love. God is love. And I looked at that and I said, oh Lord, today, if you called for my life today, there's no way I could lay a grievance at your feet. You have been too good to me. So if you come to me and you ask me, how am I doing? And I say to you that the Lord has been good to me, I mean it. He has been good. He has been good to every one of us. He's done so many things for us, folks. The ability that we have this morning to rise from our beds, our bodies have been throughout the night in deep sleep and rest. But to be able to arise this morning and see the light of another day, and for God to speak to this body and put everything back in order throughout the night, the rest that restores these bodies, and to allow me to awake this morning with cognizance, to look around and be able to observe and see the things that are still in the same room. I am there, and I look at the clock. I can see the clock. I can see the light filtering through the window, through the shades. Those things, again, God has given. God continually gives to us. He continually opens His heart, and He continually opens of His bountiful storehouse, and He gives to us. For God so loved the world that He gave. But He didn't just give these things. He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever would believe in Him wouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Folks, if you are saved today, it's because of the love of God. I want us to think a little bit how important love is in your life. There may be some sitting in this tabernacle under the sound of my voice who have a skewed conception of what love is. Maybe you've had difficulty in your home. Maybe you've had somebody that has not treated you right, that has taken advantage of you, and it has really skewed what your perception of love is. But I want us to realize that even in all of those circumstances of life, where maybe some of the lines have been crossed up, there is still love that is extended in this world. I know that it's hard sometimes to really understand how it all works, but yet for the love of God and the mercy of God to be extended to us, to be able to come to another Monarch meeting and to sit under the sound of the preaching and to hear the songs, to hear the testimonies and the prayer requests and the prayers prayed in my behalf and in your behalf and the things that you have brought before the Lord. It is the love of God reaching out from the throne of God, but also through His people that are reaching to your needs. And they hear and they say, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for you. How are you doing? I've been praying for you. That's love. That's love. Every time that we come under the sound of the speaker here and ask for prayer requests, and we raise our hands with unspoken burdens, we never know what the end of those unspoken burdens are. We don't know who they're representing. And we sometimes say, and frequently we say, remember the lost. Pray for the lost. That's love. That is an expression of love that is reaching out to those who are unsaved, who have lost their way. When we say that the Lord would have mercy and give healing for those who are troubled in soul and mind and spirit, that He would heal emotion, that's love. That is love of God. That is prayer that is expressed and reaching to those individuals. And while you might have trouble really understanding and receiving love, remember that that is love that is being extended to you. If you're having trouble with those things, remember, as dark as things might look around you, as hard as things might look, there is love in this world. We experience love, we feel love, we have an expression of love in so many different ways around us. I am amazed at the ways, the means that a human being is capable of understanding emotion and physical attachment and having some type of expression of love. And I remember the things as a boy, I had I told you there was 10 of us and on my grandfather's side. And we got into lots of things. And we lived on in the country. We lived on farms. And we worked with animals and worked with tractors and equipment. And I enjoyed that. It was good for me. It was good years. And I remember going out into the field one day. I had my shotgun. I was going, as a boy, I just a boy, okay? I'm going to go out in the field with my shotgun, and if there's blackbirds or crows flying overhead, if he's within range, I'm going to take my chance at him. I happened upon a crow. I saw something bouncing and hopping along the ground. I looked over and saw it was a crow. So it caught my attention. I said, well, that's kind of unusual for him not to take flight. So I walked over and he'd already been shot. He'd been winged. I didn't do it. Somebody did. So I caught him. And by my transition from taking my gun and shooting crows to taking this fella back to the house and doctoring him up. So I took him home. I was a boy. I took him home and my mom said, what you going to do with that? I said, well, I'd try to see if I can get him doctored up so we can heal and he maybe can fly again. Oh, I've been a parent now too. And seen some of those kind of things myself as a parent, from a parent's eyes now. So we got a little cage. And my mom gave me some gauze, and I made a very crude wrapping around this old crow. I wrapped his wings up tight where he wouldn't be flopping around so much. I wrapped his wings up tight and gave him water and put a little grain in that cage with him. And I worked with him for quite a while until I'd let him out, let him hop along the ground, and go pick him up, put him back in his cage so he wouldn't be caught by some other critter out there at night. And there came a day when I said, well, I'm going to cut the bandage off and see what happens. So I clipped that gauze loose, and he was pretty happy to get that much freedom. And he hopped around there. I'd had him for quite some time. He hopped around there and began to flex his wings, and he never did get very far away from me. So I caught him, put him back in his little cage for the night, and I kept doing that, and he started trying to fly. And there came a day when he flew off and was gone. Well, I'm not going to tell you I've never shot another crow since then, because I have. They're pesky critters. But that was love. And I, at the time, it didn't even cross my mind, this is love. But as I look back, it was love. Same thing happened with a hawk. I went out and I found him out in the field hopping along, and I picked him up and brought him to the house. Son, what you going to do with that? Nurse him back to health. Same thing. Put a little ground meat in there in the pen for him, cage for him to eat. Came time, I felt like he was strong enough, clipped the gauze off of his wings, and he did basically the same thing. He'd take off and try to fly, and he'd fly, I don't know, 30, 40 yards, and he'd hit the ground, and he's just panting with breath. I'd go pick him up. I'd put him back in his cage, let him drink. Let him eat if he wanted to. Leave him alone for a while. Get him out later. Let him go. There came a day when I turned him loose. And he took off. And he flew, I don't know, quite a ways and went and landed up in the top of a tree. That was love. I didn't know. I wasn't thinking about it from a mind of love. It was more out of curiosity for me than it was anything else. But as I look back now, it was love. And I think about how many times the Lord has taken me or you or any one of us and nursed us back to health and gave us an opportunity to where we could soar and fly high once again. When I was crippled, when I was wounded, when I was hurt, the love of God reaching down to me, helping me along the way, you helping me, you praying for me, even when I might not understand or know what was really going on or what I needed, but you praying for the lost, praying for someone who was in trouble, an unspoken request, remembering those who are battling. And I've had that happen to me over and over again. Perhaps you have too. And the Lord wants to, with every one of us, put us in a place where we're restored and we can soar high again and fly in the love of God, in the mercy of God, in the Word of God, experiencing what love is. It is so wonderful, folks, to experience love. You ever had a kitty cat rub all up against your legs? Rubbing hair, fuzz on your pants legs? I've had that. Shoo them away sometime. You sit down and they jump right up in your lap and they start the purring. It's amazing. It's amazing what God has put into us to be able to feel even the most menial expressions of love and to understand it. To have it communicated to us in so many things around us. My brother used to dairy. And I can't explain this because I've never experienced this, but he had a real relationship of appreciation for those cows, and he had them named and numbered, and he knew their personalities, and they knew him, and it touched him. It really grieved him if one of them got sick or if he lost one of his cows. Those are things that people will look and they'll wag their head and say, "Preacher, what are you talking about? It's silliness." No, it's love. It's something that God has placed within every one of us to be able to understand in some level, even those that have had real difficulty, and maybe in a human relationship, they yet have the ability through whatever means, whether it's an animal, a pet, somehow to understand an expression of love. I am amazed what God has done, how He has put that in us to be able to receive and understand that expression. It's beautiful. So I'd like to go a different direction now. With understanding what love is and the ability, I don't think that we need to put any limits or restrictions on being able to feel what love is. Whether it's from another human being or a pet, an animal, whatever it might be. That there are things that God has given to us to be able to really understand and appreciate love. I want you to think how important it is. How important it is to have the ability to feel love on whatever level it may be. Folks, it would be a dark, cold, cruel world if there was no love. Even though we have a lot of pain, there's a lot of heartache here, there's a lot of things that are wrong in this world and in our nation, there are a lot of things that are wrong, there's still a lot of things that are right and good and wholesome. Turn with me to the book of John, the 8th chapter, and we'll begin with the 19th verse. "Then said they unto him, Where is thy father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he saith unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. There's a couple of sentences here that really stand out to me. In the 21st verse, I go my way, ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. And then 24th verse, I said therefore unto you, ye shall die in your sins. I don't know how to give any more apt description of what Satan's hell will be, except that it will be completely devoid of love. Completely void of love. How many times have you been in a place where just a word would mean so much to you? How many times have you been in a place to where just a human touch would mean so much to you? I've been there. I have been there. And when I read about the exchange between the rich man and Lazarus, and how the rich man says, please, would you send Lazarus just to dip his finger in water, just to put some drops there to cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Folks, in hell there is absolutely no love. God is love. God is not in hell. Everything that in this world has any amount of love in it, God is in it. God is a part of it. God is a part of that ability to receive, to give, to understand, to accept a level of love. That is a blessing to be able to receive. I don't know what it would be like to be banished forever into complete, total darkness with the absence of ever having to be able to feel that level of emotion, of attachment from another creature, another being, something to help me to feel a little bit of consolation as I go through the life. But in hell, there is no love. No love at all in hell, in Satan's place of torment. Jesus said to them, where I go, if you die in your sins, where I go, you cannot come. And I remember Brother Ed bringing out a message, a statement as a poem, and I don't have all the words to it. I wish I did have a phrase or two of it. But one of them was, ever dying, never dead. I can't imagine what it would be like to be banished to eternal death. Folks, we have the contrast between love, God is love, all of the love that we can enjoy from God, making it inside of God's heaven to sing praise and glory to God around the throne forever. Jesus said eternal life, eternal life. And the contrast that with eternal death, damnation, forever doomed to darkness, where there is no life, none whatsoever, no love, no emotion, no attachment, no comfort, no way to feel any way out of the doom, the depression, the darkness that I am in that place. I can't imagine the horror of such a thing. Ever dying, but never dead. Never able to come to a place where it's over, it's finalized. I yearn, I long, I constantly reach, I constantly search for some level of consolation. Would to God that I could just die and it'd be done and be over with, and I'd never have to deal with all of this anymore. But it's not that way in hell, because it is a constant yearning for that love that God has to reach out and extend and touch someone and help them along the way. But it's not there in hell. God is love. Jesus said, you'll die in your sins. And where I go, you cannot come. I have been shocked at the ability and the way that Satan is so cruel and so hard. I have been so shocked to see the things that he will try to impose upon a human being at the very end of the journey. I remember, oh God help us, I remember sitting with an individual one time, and I remember face to face having a conversation of what his desire was when he came to the very end, how he wanted to be faithful and true, and he was asking me questions about the things. What should I do in this situation? How do I approach this? And I gave the best advice I knew to give. And I said, I don't know how it's all going to be when it comes to that time. But I said, if that's your desire, I think it'd be a good idea for you to put those things in writing and let your family know just how you feel about that, what you want done and what you don't want done. Because this is your desire. And it's a deep conviction that he had. And it's things that he felt like if he made any other decision or choice, it would be violation of his relationship with God. So he did that. And when it came to the very end of his battle here on this earth, I got a phone call. Can you please come? And I went. And I have never been in such a battle with the world of darkness as I was that day, that morning. I remember for 2 hours lying on the bed, spread out before the Lord, and holding this individual's hand and hearing him crying and hearing him praying and crying out for mercy from God, and Noah and the enemy, Satan, coming right in that room, doing everything he could at the very last minute to steal, to kill, and to destroy, trying to take that individual from the realm of love, the realm of life everlasting, and steal at the very end and draw him down to the pit where there is no love and no mercy and no hope. I remember hearing the things. I knew what Satan was doing. I couldn't hear the battle that was going on from Satan to this individual's mind. But I heard the words that he was saying. And I heard him crying out. And I heard I could tell what the enemy was trying to do to him. Coming right at the very end. Trying to steal his opportunity for eternal life. Folks, that's the enemy that we face. And I again say to you, I don't know when I've ever been in such a battle. And I prayed, and I prayed, and I said, please remember. I said, Lord, have mercy on us here. And I said to the man, I said, please, I said, remember what you told me. Remember, we sat right there in the chapel, and this is what you told me. This is what you said. This is what you wanted to do. I want to help you. I'm here to help you walk through this last step of your journey. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you. I want to rebuke the enemy. And it wasn't very long, and he drifted off. And he quietly lay there, slowly. He was breathing quietly, peacefully, calmly. And the Lord gently took him. I'll tell you, folks, the enemy of this world is so cruel, so cold. This man's expression of love was, this is what I want to do. When it comes down to the end, I'm afraid of how it's going to end up, but this is my purpose. Will you help me to make that transition as much as I can? It comes down to the man and standing before God. But I'll do what I can. I'll be there if at all possible. Thank God I was able to be there. Thank God God was there. Thank God he was there, because he was also a witness that day. When we sat in the chapel and we talked and we prayed, he was also witness to the things that he wrote out and gave to his family of his desire, how he wanted to be able to leave this world. Folks, I'll tell you, every expression of love that you can get while we're here, we need to appreciate it very much. We need to appreciate it very much. And I pray that the Lord would have mercy on every one of us, that while we're here, we'll take full advantage of every opportunity for these services that the Lord has for us to open our hearts and our minds to get something from Him. And when it comes down to the very end, we can leave this world. There might be a struggle at the very end of life, and none of us have a guarantee of how we're going to leave this world. I know the enemy's cruel. And I know he's going to try to steal and kill and destroy. But I want us to remember, we have opportunity now for love, to give love, to receive love. May I ask you, please do not take for granted the opportunities that you have to give and to receive. Do not take it for granted. And would you please remember that there is no expression of love in hell. That deepest yearning that a soul could ever have for some type of connection, whether it's some level of connection of love, to never have that opportunity. I can't imagine what it would be like here to be completely shut out from that experience. That little crow, that hawk, they're long since gone. As a boy, I remembered after that hawk flew away, landed up in the top of a tree. I remember I'd go outside looking for my hawk. I called him Hawkeye. I'd go outside looking for my hawk. And I'd see one flying around. He's one that stayed pretty close for quite some time. And I'd even go outside and I'd put food on the ground. I'd put a little bit of ground meat on the ground or something on the ground, hoping to entice him back. But he found freedom. He found freedom. He went back to where he was supposed to be, flying in the air and hunting food on his own. And I'm sure he's one of God's creatures. I'm sure he didn't feel any kind of attachment of love to me, but I did to him. And folks, it's a God-given thing. And if we make the choice to disregard the help and the hope that God has for us through his plan of salvation, we put ourselves at risk of rejecting love. Totally rejecting love. I don't think that we can really understand what that means. We don't want to. So my prayer is that the Lord would help us to look around at these things. Don't take them for granted. When you wake up of a morning, if you're able to roll over and put your feet on the floor and stand up, thank God. If you're able to, I've told the folks, just to be able to crook a finger like this, there are so many things that go on inside the human body for that to happen. All the nerve endings, the communications through the brain, the nerve impulses, all the thought processes, the things that happen just to make that happen. I don't even think about what's going on. I reach to pick up a cup of water and I do it. I take a drink. I swallow. There are so many things that God has given to us that we don't even see. It happens. Without me even thinking about it, it happens. If we're not careful, we won't even give a moment's notice to that. But when I read the scripture, it is of his mercies that we're not consumed. I realize God is love. God is love. Just take notice. Just watch these simple actions. See, those things look so simple, don't they? Can you imagine the ability to communicate? I don't have to say words. I want to exchange this cup of water from my right hand to my left, and my body reacts. My body responds. I don't have to program anything. God did it. He gave me that ability. And when I look around at my fellow man, and I see those who are diseased and crippled, I see those who have afflictions on their bodies. And I see sometimes a man that has a dreaded disease, the Parkinson's, and he needs to take a step. He wants to take a step, and his foot bounces, and he starts. I don't have to think about that. My body does it. But it's not that way for everyone.
No, it's not.
Lord, have mercy. It's not that way for everyone. God has been good to me. God has been good to you. He's worthy of our praise. He loves us. He cares about us. And He has made it possible for us to experience love, not only here, but eternally. Eternally. Contrasted with eternal death, I'll choose life anytime. Thank God for all He's done for me, for you, for every time He's been there for us. And my prayer is, Lord, when I am facing my last battle, I know the enemy is going to be there to try to steal it. If you get word that I'm at my last battle, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? The Lord will keep me. And that my purpose and my resolve will be that I'll make it all the way through. And I will be able to leave this world with victory in my soul. Because I remember that scene. It's very vivid in my mind. The enemy tried so hard to steal, but he didn't. Thank God he didn't. So let's pray earnestly for one another. We need God. Amen.